From the heartland of America, focused on God, family, and country, the mouthpiece of the Midwest, this is Dale Carter's America.
Back in the podcast studio for one more episode, and then we are live at Funhouse Pizza, 50 Highway in Lee's Summit. We'll tell you about that here in just a second. With Kurt Wheeler, I'm Dale Carter. Let's tell them all the ways that they can be part of the fun here at Dale Carter's America, the places they can get the podcast, how they can subscribe, because we really need to keep building this audience.
Absolutely. As always, you can check us out on YouTube, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. YouTube and Rumble for the video podcast. We obviously play a lot of clips, and you want to see our beautiful faces, of course, especially Dale. I mean, look at him. How could you not? And so make sure you subscribe, leave a comment. Anything that you do, leaving a comment, liking the video, sharing the video helps the algorithm, and it really helps us get in front of more people. Right. So that's the best thing that you can do to help us out.
And do come to the live event, because we're going to have a lot of fun. Funhouse Pizza, 50 Highway in Lee's Summit. Jim Dingman's going to have a great night for us there. We're going to get there about 5, do some socializing with all the folks who are there. And then at 6, we start taping the episode. And a couple of segments that we already have in the can for this, some guests who are going to be there. We have some young ladies. No men, right? Just young ladies, as far as you know?
I think there might be a guy.
Might be a guy in there?
Yeah.
Okay, but they are graduating this year from high school. It's going to be their world. And so what's on my mind about that is, Kurt, what do they want? How do they see the world, right? It's going to be their world. We've mucked it up pretty badly. And to a great degree, that's going to have to be the generation that either fixes it or doesn't fix it. So we got some bright young people who are going to be with us, and that's certainly going to be an interesting segment. And certainly for folks who are in that boomer age or maybe a little bit younger, maybe older, I mean, you really ought to be there for it. Then State Representative Jeff Coleman from Missouri is going to be with us. And you may have seen what's going on between the city of Kansas City and the state of Missouri. It's kind of a tug of war over this whole gender surgery thing, especially as it relates to kids.
Yeah.
I know you have strong feelings about that, Kurt, and I have very strong feelings about it as well.
Yeah, of course. Of course. And it's the fight is really happening at the state level on so many of these things. And the national level, of course, but, mm-hmm. you know, our state representatives, like Representative Jeff Coleman, who's going to be at the podcast next week, they're really undervalued, I think, in terms of the ability that they have to influence policy on things like this.
Well, the interesting thing is Lucas and the city basically say they aren't going to enforce the law. And, you know, they're not going to write tickets. And the interesting thing there is, as you know, the unique situation that happens in Kansas City, Missouri, is the city does not control the police department in Kansas City. It is actually governed by the state of Missouri. So there's definitely a tug of war there. I can't wait to have Jeff Coleman on to ask him about that. And, of course, you know I'm going to get in some discussion about expired temp tax because that is my personal pet peeve.
Can I bring up the shopping carts? Is there anything he can do about shopping carts? That's what I want to know.
I think you should bring it up okay. because if it's not a state law, it ought to be a state law. And since you brought that up, Kurt, I have not abandoned a shopping cart in a parking lot.
That's good, because every time you're about to do it, you think, oh, man.
I think, what would Kurt think?
Yeah, that's good.
I was at the Hy-Vee in Blue Springs, and we were parked pretty far away from where the return thing was.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and there was like a little island with some like vegetation on it, and I almost parked it right there, wheels front, you know, so it wouldn't slide. And I thought, if I do this, you know, Kurt's probably got like a hidden camera somewhere in my vehicle to keep me from doing that. All right. Well, welcome to the podcast. It is brought to you in part by my good friend Bob Watson at Blue Springs State Farm. He is 7th and Main in Blue Springs. That's where he offices out of. It's always a great time to compare rates, and State Farm has surprisingly great rates. Bob Watson has been my personal State Farm agent for nearly 30 years through a lot of trials and things like having four teenage drivers in my house. And we're about to have another one of those with my my stepson coming up here. Sorry, Bob. Bob probably just sprouted a gray hair thinking about that. Auto Home Life Commercial Insurance. He's licensed in both Missouri and Kansas. I don't know if he's coming to the live event or not, Kurt, but he gave me some prizes that we can give away.
Oh, sweet.
So we're going to have prize drawings throughout the night next week at Funhouse Pizza. So do make sure that you come. I wanted to start here, and really I wasn't even thinking about the Durham decision, which the Durham report was turned in, but it fits into this national divide. Kurt, I have never felt lower than I feel right now, having seen the Durham report. I mean, you got a sense that they did it, right? But when you see it in black and white, and you see what happened to Donald Trump back in 2016, that the Democrats created this fiction that was taken to every network other than Fox. I don't think Fox ever totally bought into it, but they definitely reported on it. But MSNBC, CNN, all of the newspapers and all that, they took that fiction to them, and they got the Justice Department involved. The Justice Department is supposed to be the umpire, right? We are a country of laws, and the Justice Department firmly put their thumb on the scale for the Democrat Party and created this fiction that did not exist. And the reason I feel so low about the whole thing is I don't think anything is going to happen.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, if it was, it would have happened already. I didn't read the report, full disclosure, but you know, I think most of the stuff that you just said, we've known for a while. We've known that the Justice Department, the FBI, through the Hillary Clinton campaign and foreign intelligence, spied on the Trump campaign, put wiretaps in his office, and other things like that, which is not only illegal, but it brings into question the legitimacy of our democratic process, of our elections. And it shows that the justice system in America is clearly politicized. And it's something that Trump has been talking about ever since then. And I think he's right to talk about it. And he's experiencing it now, you know, with this whole trial that they're trying to put against him now. Or the trials, I should say. I mean, right. they're pulling out every trick that they can against the guy.
Yeah.
And so it's just, yeah, it's troubling. It's very troubling.
I put up a slide on the Facebook page for the podcast, and it was interesting because a Democrat pushed back on me just a little bit, but then when I came back on him, he went away because he didn't have an answer for it. But you've seen, you're going to it now. But basically the image is Donald Trump and Joe Biden standing on a dock, right? And Trump's holding up a life preserver that says Trump policies, and there's somebody thrashing in the water wearing a T-shirt that says anybody but Trump, and the caption is President Biden help, and Biden's like, I gotcha, and he's about to throw the guy an anvil. And, you know, a picture says 1,000 words, and this one is right on the money. And somebody reached out from the other side, I'm sure, and said, what Trump policies were working? And my comeback to that was, you people on that side, you focus on the clown show, on the carnival show. The underlying Trump policies were working. And if it is not evident to everyone in this country how fucked up this country is right now, Kurt, I don't know what to say. How can anybody look at any of this shit that's going on and say, this is good?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there are people out there. There are people out there saying, you know, Biden, I don't know if you've seen them or not, but Biden has these young influencers that are being paid through a talent management firm that is being paid by the DNC. They're denying that they're being paid by the DNC, but they are through a third party. And Biden has come out, there's been news stories about it, about how he's going to be employing these young influencers, you know, to campaign for him in 2024. And they're like, Joe Biden policies have been great. You know, the economy is doing better than ever. Look at all these jobs, you know, and it's just like, does anybody really believe this?
Do you buy gas? Do you buy groceries? I mean, you know, where is the reality check that's going on here? It's all about the narrative. And that's what it comes down to in this national divide that I want to talk about, the narrative. It's not even really Republican and Democrat, red and blue. It's black and white. It's city versus suburban. It's sane versus insanity. It's I really, we need to get Natalie back in here at some point, maybe in June, because I just want somebody from the other side to explain to me how awesome things are right now.
Yeah, or just like describe what is normal. Like how is, I would really, when I talk to people on the left, I try and get straight into like the cultural issues, you know, and how is it normal that we're pitting ourselves against each other like this? How is it normal
it's
to call
terrible.
A man a woman? How is it normal to, you know, and it's just not. I just can't understand it. I've tried and I can't.
And how is it normal for parents to say, you know what, little Johnny thinks he's a Susie, so we're going to give him all these hormone treatments and we're going to cut off his thingamajigger? How is that normal?
It's not.
That is not normal.
It's not normal.
You know, and I read something from a parent that said, you know what? We need to be able to make decisions for our kids. Well, the government's involved in your kid's life. They're not allowed to smoke cigarettes. They're not allowed to drink booze.
Yeah, and you send your kid to a government school for like eight hours a day. So
we as a community have a compelling interest in the raising of your child.
Yeah, and we also have a compelling interest to hold parents accountable who are abusing their children. You know?
And that is abuse.
Yeah.
No question. Again, we're going to get into that next week with Jeff Coleman. I have very strong feelings about it. I'm sure Jeff does as well. And if you do, please show up. And if you're on the other side, I want to ask you, if you really think that being a good parent means that you give in to your kids' confusion, and kids are confused a lot, all right? There is confusion that goes all the way through the teenage years. And my feeling is once they become adults, that's a different deal altogether. But when they are children, your job as a parent is to set up the guardrails and get them to adulthood as safely and as successfully as possible. To me, that's what the job of being a parent is.
Yeah, we welcome criticism and dissenting opinion. You know, if you, this is a perfect opportunity. If you disagree with us on this issue or on, you know, the job that President Biden's doing or any of the other things that we're talking about, come out to the live show. Everyone will be very friendly, we promise, and we'll probably even have you on. You know, we could talk about it.
No question about it. We could do that.
Yeah.
So back to the divide in the nation. You know, there have been a lot of shooting episodes. I mean, there was one, I think, even yesterday. I mean, it's happening. There are people out there, you know, who are angry for whatever reason, and they're killing people. And that's a problem. The Biden administration and the left focuses on the tool. But what's going on is a real thing out there. But the divide comes in this way. The Texas shooter, where was that anyway? Was that Dallas or Houston?
It was Dallas, I think.
Okay. It happened after what happened in Nashville, where the trans person, a woman who says she's a man, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Goes in and shoots up a school and then is taken out. The difference is, we already know everything about the Texas shooter.
Yeah.
Narrative's out there because it fits the narrative. It fits the Biden narrative. It fits the Democrat narrative. It fits the left media narrative. We don't know anything yet about this trans person. In fact, there are some circles where she, and I'm going to call her a she because she's a female, is looked at as a victim.
Yeah. I mean, we've already been over that. Yeah, how they're counting her as one of the victims. And it's just very interesting how, you know, this guy, here's some pictures that I'm showing of the Dallas shooter.
Bad apple.
Yeah. And, you know, people are like, oh, look at these tattoos are brand new. What does that mean? I mean, I don't know. People are maybe looking into it too much. But, you know, they've got all of this stuff. Like, he was on this very obscure Russian social media app called Odnoklassniki or something like that.
Well, your Russian's really good.
Oh, thanks. I've been working on it. And so, like, the day after, they've got his Russian social media account. They've got all of his posts. They've got, you know, photos of him that he took and sent to friends,
right,
and text messages and everything like that. And then here's this, you know, you can screenshot that if you want. Language warning. There's a lot of terrible shit in there. And then, you know, he's got stuff on his Russian social media, like he's watching podcasts, you know, on YouTube. So, of course, everyone's like, oh, he watched Tim Pool on YouTube. You know, Tim Pool is responsible for the shooting. And it's like, give me a fucking break. But, you know.
And yet we don't know anything about the Nashville
person. Yeah, and it's interesting because even right now, I have this article here. we as in society, you know, the courts have the manifesto from the Nashville shooter, but they're not releasing it. So they're debating right now, I guess. A Nashville judge has reportedly received the unredacted manifesto of the trans-identified mass shooter, Audrey Hale, who entered the Covenant Christian School and killed three young students along with three staff members. So they have, like, I'm not aware if the Dallas shooter actually had, like, a written, you know, manifesto type thing. Like, here's what I did, this is what
I'm
doing.
But you know a lot about him, and it's all, it fits the left's narrative.
Right.
And the difference is, you and I wouldn't support that guy either.
No, of course not.
We think they're both wrong.
Of course not. I mean, yeah, that goes without saying, hopefully. But in this case, we have a trans-identified shooter who, by all accounts and by just using common sense, was likely motivated by the radical trans ideology. And you would think the reason that they're not releasing this manifesto is because that's what it says. And they don't want people seeing that and then associating this negative thing with this movement that everyone in every institution, from government to public education to the media, are trying to push on everybody. And then they're like, oh, wait a second, you know, this is maybe actually bad. And so now it's in the courts. You know, maybe they'll release it. Maybe they'll release a redacted version where it's like they blur some things out. And it just couldn't be clearer how out the information that is shown to us or not shown to us is clearly catered for specific reasons. It's clearly catered because the people that control the information want us to see certain things and don't want us to see other things.
Well, it gets right back to the Durham report and the FBI and the mainstream media and all that. I mean, I've really never been that guy, but I'm becoming that guy. And it really pisses me off that things that I have trusted in my life are coming under scrutiny like that. And just to go backward a second on the FBI and the Durham report and all that, I was watching The Five last night, and Jessica Tarloff, who is their token liberal on The Five, you know, I was wondering what she was going to say about that, because between her and Harold Ford Jr., that's a couple of their liberal folks on Fox that I listen to, you know, to get their opinion, to see what their perspective is. And I thought she might have something to say other than, well, you know, Trump gave as good as he got. You know, he got a lot out of that. He got a lot out of those 2 years. And I thought Jesse was going to go off on her. It's like, where does he go to get those 2 years back? Where he had to fight every day with the media over something you knew was bullshit.
Yeah, and it's the same thing that's happening right now. I mean, they're trying to interfere with the election again in 2024. They're going to do everything that they can. I mean, you can say what you want about whether you think the last one was legit or not, but it's so obvious now. I mean, it's so obvious that they're trying to suppress his ability to campaign, suppress his ability to speak directly to the people, and make it all about just putting him in jail. And that's how the justice system works now. You can see the same thing with if you look at the disparate treatment between the January 6th defendants and Antifa, between Proud Boys and Antifa. There are people that are now facing seditious conspiracy for walking into the Capitol, not breaking anything, not hurting anybody, walking into the Capitol. They're facing seditious conspiracy, which carries up to 40, 50-year sentences. They're throwing the book at them, and then people who are actually violent criminals in our inner cities are being released on no bail. And it's just our justice system is totally corrupt, totally,
you know,
politicized.
And the FBI basically came out and said, well, we've made changes, and so something like that would never happen again. My question is, who went to jail?
Right.
Who's going to jail for this?
Right.
Yeah. Are we a nation of laws, or are we not a nation of laws?
Why would we believe you? Like,
exactly. Take our word for it. Yeah. We got it fixed. Yeah.
That's not going to happen again. Why should we believe you? Because we said so.
And we're the FBI.
You bullshit.
Know, Josh Hawley went off on him too, and basically says that this is a sign that the FBI, as we know it, needs to be completely reconstructed. And he's probably right, because the corruption, how deep does it go? And when will it get the trust of the American people again? I got to believe some Democrats look at this and go, huh? How'd that happen? And you know all the Republicans feel that way, so the country feels that way.
Yeah. And you can see it too in the way that liberals talk about what's going on, like with Trump. And I see it all the time, you know, on social media, I'm in some Discord groups and other things like that, and even just seeing what friends are posting on social media, they're just so ecstatic about it. It's like they just want to get Trump no matter what. Orange man bad, orange man bad. We'll play the bumper later. But and they don't care about due process. They don't care about equal treatment under the law. It's just all the ends justify the means. Get the bad man, Trump, and that's it.
We'll have more fun with that later because you've got some clips from his town hall on CNN, which is just hysterical. If you haven't seen the clips, hang on because we're going to get to those coming up. More on the national divide. The reparations thing we talked about, California is leading the way on that. Gavin Newsom set up this big commission to go study it. They came back and they said, we want billions and billions and billions of dollars.
Yeah.
And then Gavin comes out and
big
he says,
surprise.
Gavin's like, it's not all about money.
Yeah.
And then we find out that California is $31 billion in debt.
Yeah.
So where is this money going to come from? If they did what this commission says, it means every taxpayer who hasn't fled California yet, every taxpayer would have to pay $25,000 in additional state tax.
Per year?
Yeah, to get this thing done.
Yeah, there was a good tweet from Larry Elder, who's a black conservative guy who ran for, what did he run for, governor, I guess?
He ran for president.
Well, he ran for president, but I think he ran for governor of California, too.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And he says, so let me get this straight. California Governor Newsom signs bill to establish a ridiculous first-in-the-nation task force to study reparations for blacks, then rejects its ridiculous recommendations for reparations for blacks, demonstrating yet again how Dems pimp blacks for votes. So true, so true. And then his statement was really funny, too. Newsom put out a statement to Fox News because they reached out to him for a statement. And he said, the Reparations Task Force independent findings and recommendations are a milestone in our bipartisan effort to advance justice and promote healing. This has been an important process, blah, 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 blah. And then he says, dealing with that legacy, the legacy of racism, as they call it, dealing with that legacy is about much more than cash payments. Many of the recommendations put forward by the task force are critical action items we've already been hard at work addressing, breaking down barriers to vote, bolstering resources to address hate, blah, 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 freaking blah.
By the way, I don't know if the Pharaoh is listening to our podcast or not, but he's going to do his own little reparations thing.
He listens to every episode.
Try and get himself on
the
map
that on
or whatever.
Good faith.
I just kind of wonder how you're going to pay for it. You know, kind of like that baseball stadium you want downtown. How are you going to pay for that?
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to be the guy to throw cold water on stuff like this.
But yeah, Larry Elder is so right. I mean, they're just using this issue to gain votes. And even just
in the statement that
yeah, I mean, it should be obvious, but unfortunately it's not. But even in the statement that Newsom gave, he's like, well, yeah, you know, we're not actually going to do it, but we're addressing hate and systemic racism. It's like, okay.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's go to the other coast now, to New York City and the subway death. Hero or criminal, depends on which side you're on. More than 25,000 people, including Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida, have contributed to Penny's legal defense. Basically, this homeless guy was going crazy on the subway. They were underground. People were feeling threatened. And a Marine did what a Marine does, which is deal with the situation.
Yeah. And people don't want to talk about it, but there were other people subduing the guy, too, including this guy, who's black. And, like, I think one other
black guy doesn't count. See, that's where race gets in here. You just got to get him out of the picture. Focus on the white guy.
Yeah.
Because the white guy is the guy holding the guy.
Yeah, that's Daniel Penny, the ex-Marine. And he has been arrested. And I guess he's being put on trial for aggravated assault or something like that. It's just so crazy, man. I mean, if you live in New York, what are you doing? Like, just get out of there as quickly as possible. I mean, they're not only trying to defund the police, but they're declawing the police. You have crazy violent homeless people on the subway. This guy, whatever his name was, I don't even remember. He had like 40 arrests in the past 4 years. He was arrested for kidnapping a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
And he went to jail for like 4 months and then came out. He punched an old guy in the face. He is constantly on the subway harassing people, threatening violence. That's what happened that day. He was threatening violence. He said, I'm ready to die. I'm ready to go to jail. Threatening to be violent. And this guy, who in my opinion is a hero, Daniel Penny, subdued him. And
right. And then tried to revive him.
Yeah.
Tried to bring him back after he was subdued. Yep. I mean, who does that if you're just out to kill somebody? I mean, that's not that you don't do that.
Yeah. And here's his Give, Send, Go campaign. It's up to $2.4 million.
Wow. He's getting close to the kid here in Kansas City.
Yeah, not quite
there yet, but getting there. Okay. Also in New York, you know, they're a sanctuary city for all these illegals that are coming across. And Eric Adams, did you see this? Eric Adams is like, you know what? That's an old policy. I inherited that policy. We need to do something about that. We can't be a sanctuary city anymore. Mm-hmm. Because these Democrats are seeing what happens here with Title 42 expiring. Mayorkas lied his ass off across media yesterday saying, well, you know, crossings are down 50%.
Yeah,
because of all the hard work that the Biden administration has done.
So
Eric Adams is like, you know what? Maybe we don't want to be a sanctuary city anymore. And that's what happens. You liberals out there, you know, who are so, you know, you want to do the right thing. You don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. So you set all this shit up. And then when it collapses around you, it's like, yeah, maybe that wasn't a great idea.
Yeah, here's his statement on that.
Law of sanctuary city was in place long before I became mayor.
Yeah.
I'm following the law. As a law enforcement person, you know, we follow the law. We're now in court now, today, asking the judge to revisit this law to deal with this humanitarian crisis, because even when they decided to put in place that law, no one thought that they would be dealing with a humanitarian crisis of this proportion.
Well, how could you not think that? When Joe Biden in 2020, when he ran for president, remember that? The debate where all those Democrats were on stage, and Joe Biden said, come on.
Yeah.
We want you to come on.
Yeah.
Borders open. In fact, right after he became president, remember the scene of all those people crushing the border wearing Biden-Harris T-shirts?
Yeah, and literally saying, like, thanks, Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just it's total chaos. There's videos coming out from the border. I mean, this is drone footage from Fox News of all the trash and clothes, and
that's awesome.
You know, all the environmental people are really up in arms about this, I'm sure.
When Ronald Reagan was president, you know, he said of the Soviet Union when he finally met with Gorbachev and they kind of hit it off at Reykjavik, he said, you know, I trust the guy, but we're going to verify what he says. Trust, but verify. And I can't believe, Kurt, that we live in a country now in the United States of America in 2023 where we have to say that about the party that we don't agree with their policies.
Yeah.
We can't trust them anymore. We have to verify what they say. So when Mayorkas goes on TV and smiles and says, the Biden policies are working and it's down 50%, horse shit. I mean, don't they know that there's video and there's drones and you know, and the things that they've said before can come back, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's manipulation of statistics. I know the clip that you're talking about, and I can try and find it, but it's not necessary. Basically, what he said was, it was like 1 or 2 days ago, he said, it's down 50% in the last 2 or 3 days or whatever. And he was trying to make that to seem like a positive spin that there's no crisis anymore. Meanwhile, the actual number, the person that was asking him the question followed up and said, well, what's the actual number? And he said, oh, it's like 6,000 a day, which is 6,000 a day is higher than it was, you know, 2-3 years ago when Biden first became president. And it was this huge crisis. I mean, back then it was like 2,000 or 3,000 a day. So he's saying down 50% to make you think that it's down, but it's up 100% from what it was previously. So it's just, it's classic liberal tactic of manipulating statistics and manipulating language to make it seem like it's something that it's not.
And you know, the other thing about it is, let's be honest, what they're trying to do, they're trying to impact the demographics of the United States.
Yeah.
They are trying to bring in people who would be, you know, on the government dole. And the more of those people they get, the more government they get, and the bigger the Hydra gets. I mean, we're 30, what is it? Almost 32. This morning, it was 31.78 or something. So let's round it up. We're $32 trillion in debt, and it's not enough. They want to spend more.
And you can see, I mean, from these videos, this is from El Paso. They're just turning America into a third world country, and it's by design. It's not an accident. I mean, if you think this is an accident, I would strongly consider you to read to think again, because you know there's a reason that these people are being let in. And I have this other video that I'll play in a second here too, of a Border Patrol agent saying that, you know, this is basically deliberate, that they're sending these Border Patrol agents down to the border, but they're not sending them down to actually send people back. They're sending them down to process people and let them into the country. And let's check that out real quick.
So truth is becoming harder and harder to find, especially from our politicians and the media. So I wanted to give you some truth today, a little truth bomb. Joe Biden recently announced he's sending 1,500 troops to the border. While I applaud him sending that, I want the American people to understand that this is not to protect our border, to keep people from coming into this country illegally. Those 1,500 soldiers will be there to process people into this country a lot faster, so that you, the American people, don't realize what a disaster this border crisis is. And that is the truth. If you want more truth, make sure you come follow me.
Well, exactly. You know, and the Border Patrol has a Twitter page as well, and you can follow them and get the real truth of what's happening down there on the border. I mean, it comes down to who you trust. I trust the boots on the ground. I trust those guys.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So that's going to continue. We're going to see that, and the divide continues in this country. And people like me, people like Kurt, people like the sponsors of our podcast, the reason that they are involved in this, and many of you who listen, I mean, what you want to see out of the United States and out of America is American exceptionalism. This is a great country. We do great things in this country. And the other side just wants power, it seems like. It's like, you know, how are we going to get power? How are we going to keep power? How are we going to keep these people down? Well, we're going to keep them down with government programs. We're going to keep writing checks. We're going to keep running more debt. And the more people we subjugate, and the people who really get screwed, Kurt, is the middle class.
Yeah.
They are decimating the middle class. And I think it's on purpose.
Yeah.
Has to be.
Yeah. Yep. I'm with you there. I mean, there's too many things happening all in one direction for this to be an accident. I mean, the border is just one example, but it's
the divide. And yeah. I feel like I put that under that umbrella because it's like everywhere you look, there's a divide. Mm-hmm. And why is that? And why are they fomenting this kind of stuff? Mm-hmm. And then they put it on us. They say, oh, the MAGA Republicans, you guys are terrible. And, you know, Joe Biden, he went to a historically black college. Mm-hmm. Did you see that?
Yeah, I'll find the clip on it.
Yeah. And
it was Howard University.
Okay. Way. So he goes there, and he made some racist statements, first of all. He said Ketanji Brown Jackson. Am I saying that right, or is it Jackson Brown? It's Brown Jackson.
Brown Jackson.
It's Ketanji Brown Jackson, that he got to pick her and blah, blah, blah. And she's really the brightest justice there. What if he'd said that about one of the white justices?
Yeah. She also talks the most. There was a thing that I saw the other day that in this last judicial session, she had the most time talking in trial of, like, by far.
Has she defined what a woman is yet?
I don't think so.
Because she can't do that, but she's the brightest justice there is.
Yeah.
So Joe Biden from Howard University.
So stand up against the poison of white supremacy as I did my inaugural address to a single out.
Inaugural?
As the most dangerous terrorist threat to our homeland is white supremacy.
Now stop the tape there. Where, examples? What's his example? Can you, you know, when I was in constitutional law, you know, the professor would make you get on your feet and cite the case.
Yeah.
Cite the case, Joe Biden.
I mean, to steel man the argument, right? What they would do is they would point to individual cases of, like, mass shooters or things like
that. We had
a
trans mass shooter. What does that mean?
Right. And it's not a trend. And all you have to do, it's like, okay, white people, you know, are the most dangerous. They're the most toxic.
Does anybody in this audience, and please come to Funhouse Pizza and explain to me why you think this, does anyone in this audience think that they are better than someone else because of the color of their skin?
Well, it's also just it's not about better or worse. It really isn't. It's just about reality. It's like, you know, this claim that white supremacy and white people are the biggest threat. I mean, ask anyone. Ask black people in Kansas City. Would you rather live at 79th and Prospect or 79th and Metcalf? Ask anyone. And they'll all tell you the same answer. Is it safer to live at 79th and Prospect or 79th and Metcalf?
It's a great way to put it. You want to play more of Biden from Howard?
He makes a really funny statement here. Let me just back it up a little bit.
Single out as the most dangerous terrorist threat to our homeland is white supremacy.
Get rid of the whitey.
And I'm not saying this because I'm at a black HBCU.
That's my favorite part. He's like, white people are terrible.
Wait a minute.
And they're the biggest threat. And I'm not just saying that because I'm talking to a bunch of black people. Yeah. Wink, wink.
Not just because I'm at a black HBCU. Is there a non-black HBCU?
Yeah, maybe HBCU is like historically...
Black college or university.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think of another word the B could mean. But a historically big college and university.
There you go. I don't
know. Grasping at straws here.
You got
Dale.
Anything else to play on that?
No, that was done. I just thought that was funny.
Okay.
He just said the quiet part out loud is all.
You know what it's time for? It's time for a colonoscopy after that. I mean, there is not a better transition to get to Midwest GI Health and Wellness. Dr. Mark Taormina, he and his staff there will do what needs to be done. And if you have not had your colonoscopy and you are 45 or older, get it scheduled. Because they can get in there, they can see what's going on, and they can catch it early. And if they catch it early, they can save your life. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
That's awesome. They've got a Google rating of 4.9 out of 5 stars, the highest in Kansas City. A great staff right there in Lee's Summit, ready to get you there from start to finish. Mainly they do colonoscopies. They do some other stuff there as well. But what we're focusing on here is getting your colonoscopy. I hope Dr. Taormina is going to be there at Funhouse Pizza because you know what? He has not been on the air with us yet.
Will he be giving colonoscopies on site?
Well, you know, you're a little young for that. Maybe I'm ready for my second one. I have my first one.
We should do it live on the show.
Sure. Why not? But we haven't had him on the podcast yet, and he's been a great sponsor, and he sends me texts all the time, talks about how people come up to him and talk about, you know, how they agree with what we're talking about and how it's important work that we're doing. So hopefully he's going to be there so you can meet him and shake his hand. I think he's washed his hands, right? They wear gloves. Yeah. They glove up when they do
that. They have that sign in the bathroom that says, all employees must wash hands before returning
to work.
I'm sure
they do. Midwest GI Health and Wellness at MidwestGIHealth.com. You can reach them on the phone to make that life-saving appointment at 816-836-2200. Okay, the Biden crime family, I mean, we talked a little bit about Joe Biden and all that. So here on one hand, I want to contrast these things. On one hand, you've got a made-up story about one of the biggest business leaders in our time. Everybody knew what business Donald Trump was in, right? Mm-hmm. His name's on freaking buildings, okay? He's a real estate developer. Everything in black and white, it's tangible. You know exactly what he's doing. So the Democrats are going to run against him. They loved him before he announces a Republican, by the way. You can find all kinds of pictures of him getting backslapped by Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson. They loved Donald Trump back in the day.
And he was in like every rap song, too.
No. He comes out as a Republican, and all of a sudden, the Steele dossier comes out, and he is a Russian agent.
Yeah.
Which is on its surface. Think about how stupid that sounds. Mm-hmm. But they sell it.
Yep.
Right? They sell it to the media. They sell it to the Justice Department. They sell it to the FBI, which really breaks my heart. So, and none of it's real. And we know that. None of it's real now. So then you've got Joe Biden over here, who is, you know, his moniker for a long time, Kurt, was he's the poorest guy in the U.S. Senate. Poor old Joe. He's a poor man, right? And now he's got houses everywhere. He's got millions of dollars coming in through multiple layers of LLCs, and it filters all the way down to his grandkids. And we can't get the media in this country to take a sniff.
Yeah. Well, he can sniff ice cream.
My name is Joe Biden. I love ice cream.
I had to do it. Sorry.
I came down because I heard there was chocolate chip
ice cream. There's ice cream.
Joe Biden eat ice cream.
Well, some people think that's all I do is eat ice cream.
Chocolate chip.
Oh. You've been with your mother. I can smell ice cream.
Oh, my God, Kurt. Oh, my God. Are we living in a freaking Twilight Zone episode?
I think that's my favorite one is, you've been with your mother. I can smell ice cream.
Is any of this real? Oh, my God. And during Watergate, I know you're way too young, and I was a kid when Watergate was going on. You know, the mantra was follow the money. Follow the money.
Yeah.
Why? You know, if you were on, you know, and this podcast is an LLC, by the way.
Yes.
And you know me. Anytime you spend a dime, what's the first thing I say to you?
Receipts.
Get a receipt. Yes. Get a receipt. Okay. And we file taxes on this LLC. And I'm scared to death. I'm scared to death to take anything out of this account. And I'm afraid that if we get a comma wrong, it's going to be an audit with the IRS. This guy, willy-nilly, 5,000 layers of LLCs, and what business is he in? Do we even know?
And foundations, you know, I mean, they have the Biden Foundation where he kept all of the classified documents that nobody cares about. I think it was at UPenn in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Or University of Delaware, Biden Center, like that. Yeah, right. The Biden Center. And it's like they're all of these politicians, especially left-wing politicians, but really just kind of establishment people in general, they all do very similar things. I mean, the Clinton Foundation is the best example. There was a report that came out a year or two ago, and the Clinton Foundation spends like 10% of what they bring in on actual like charitable work.
Yeah.
So nobody's asking, well, where's the other 90% going?
And Jamie Raskin, you know, a Democratic congressman, said this week, he's like, well, this is all out there and they haven't tied it to Joe Biden. Let me ask just a reasonable question. A reasonable person would look at this. Let's say out of this entire family, right, the Joe Biden family, take Joe out of it. Why would anybody give them any money?
Well, he's the only reason they would give them money. So,
so how is it not tied to Joe Biden?
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
Yeah. Well, we have a clip of, you want me to play the Byron?
Yeah, Congressman Byron Donalds. I love this guy.
Yeah, he's been hitting it out of the park recently. I have to agree with you on that.
There's one thing everybody in this room and the American people definitely know, is that the Biden family doesn't really have a business. There is no business structure around this family, except politics. And since Joe Biden has spent decades in the Senate, served 8 years as vice president, and is now president of the United States, and the family's getting money from various countries and foreign businesses through various shell companies and this web of LLCs. I mean, guys, you in the press, this is easy pickings. I'm giving you Pulitzer stuff here.
No. We can't have that. Can't have that.
Yeah.
You know, my blood pressure's going up because I think of it in terms of like this, Kurt, regular Americans versus the Bidens. Yeah. Imagine a world where we set it up like that and we had multiple layers and you didn't know what business we were in and we filtered money to this person and that person and, you know, it wouldn't pass a sniff test.
Yeah, imagine if Dale Carter's America LLC was promoting itself as a charitable organization, and we're taking all this money from foreign countries and even from our sponsors. You know, we take money from our sponsors, and imagine we told them, hey, you know, we're going to be doing charitable work with this. We're going to be donating it to the cause of your choice.
Mm-hmm.
And we turn around and we donate maybe 10%. And then, you know, we put the rest, we wash it through some LLCs. We, you know, I'd be Hunter Biden in this case. I think you'd be Joe Biden. I'd be
Thank
Hunter
you.
Biden. So I'd be off banging hookers and smoking crack. And
I'd be eating ice cream. I win.
And then, yeah, that's that. So I don't think we would get away with that for very long.
Well, I'm just thinking about this. I've got 4 grandkids, and they each one have a 529 that I fund. What the hell, man? Let's set up another LLC, and I'll layer it through that, and we'll put it over here and put it over there, and we'll snake it through there. Somehow, you know, the tax attorney that I live with would frown on that because she is the CFO of Dale Carter's America, and she's really the one asking for the receipts. I'm just the friendly voice that
comes across. I'm aware.
So, you know, I'm just thinking about our sponsors. Funhouse Pizza, Jim Dingman. What business is he in?
Pizza.
He sells pizza. Bob Watson, State Farm. What business is he in?
Insurance.
Yeah, okay. Midwest GI, Dr. Taormina, what business is he in?
Gastrointestinal health.
Looking up poop chutes.
Looking up poop
chutes.
That's
what he does. Royal Roofing and Solar, Austin Watterson. What business are they in?
Roofing and solar.
See?
It's in the name.
It just, what business are the Bidens in?
Yeah.
Influence. Yeah. Can we just call it what it is? They're in the influence business.
Yeah.
And when Joe Biden was vice president, you know, the White House was basically a pass-through for China and the Ukraine and Romania and the Russians. I mean, you talk about the Russian collusion. I mean, Joe Biden, he was the pass-through.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, that's just to go back to, I mean, we started this podcast back in February 2020.
On inauguration. January. When he was inaugurating himself. Yeah,
January 2020 with, it was 2020, right? Or was it 2021?
2021.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry. With going through, like, the founding documents and our founding period and things like that. And it's important to come back to that sometimes because the idea of public service and of politicians was so different back then. It was, you have a real job. It's certainly if you're in the Senate or Congress, but even presidents, you know, you have a real job. You come to Washington, you do your duty, and then you go back to your regular life.
Exactly. That's how it was set up.
And that's just not the case anymore. You have all these people, like you said, selling influence. I mean, look at how much money the Obamas are making now in Netflix deals, book deals, speaking fees.
And you know
what? It's insane.
I'm going to say something here because I didn't agree with him on policy, not a lick on policy, but I thought Barack Obama was a class human being. This Durham report, if it's true that he knew and he pointed his Justice Department into this phony story, shame on him. Shameful.
Well, I hate to break it to you, but it's true.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to take a deep breath there and again thank my friend who's in the insurance business. His name is Bob Watson. That's what he does. 7th and Main in Blue Springs, 816-229-7878. Auto, home, life, commercial insurance. Time to get the boats out. It's spring. It's going to be beautiful this year in Kansas City. And Bob Watson is the guy who can insure everything that you need insured in your life, including your life. So check him out. Licensed in Missouri and Kansas, 816-229-7878. Based in Blue Springs. But trust me, if you are hearing this podcast, Bob Watson can help you, and State Farm with surprisingly great rates. Did I tell you that we pulled the trigger on the roof?
No.
Royal Roofing and Solar. Austin is dealing with my wife right now. And just so you know, the entryway to my house is a collection of samples for what's going to go on the roof. And to tell you how difficult my wife is to deal with, and Austin, I apologize. Of course, Austin knows. He went to high school with her. So he knows what a pain in the you-know-what she is. When we got the dining room painted, she wanted it a shade of blue. And she tortured the painters. They finally brought every shade of blue they could think of, and they did stripes on the wall in my dining room. And it's like, my God, Jennifer, pick one.
Yeah.
It's blue, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
And that's where we are with the roof right now. But we are going to get it done because you got to have a roof. And Royal Roofing and Solar, they'll take care of you. And it's a local Cass County company. Austin Watterson and his entire family, they are awesome people, pillars of the community down there in Pleasant Hill, and they'll take care of you. 816-540-7057. When we finally get the thing done, we'll get you some pictures and show you. Austin did part of it. We have a dormer that like shoots out from the top of the roof, and we had an issue with that, and he fixed it. The rest of the roof has been that shake shingle. Do you know what that is?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We had the HOA where I live, they had a restriction on shake shingle roofs. Everybody had to have a shake shingle roof. And I replaced mine in 2006. And immediately after I replaced the roof with shake shingle, they repealed it. So I'm one of the last shake shingle roofs, and we're going to get a great roof. Austin and Buffy, there was a great picture of them. And then you got the whole staff there too. They will definitely take care of you. And again, what business are they in, Kurt?
Roofing and solar.
There
it's
you
in
go.
The name.
There you go. It's in the name. Okay. So Donald Trump, was he invited? I guess he was invited on CNN, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So it's going to be a town hall. Just so you know, in case you don't know how things really work, here's how a town hall works. You get a moderator with a microphone, right? And you get a group of people who are going to ask questions, and you are the facilitator. in this case on CNN because they had Donald Trump and they were looking for a ratings number and they don't like Donald Trump. They put somebody in there and it was going to be gotcha. Gotcha, Trump. Screw you people in the audience. We don't care about you. This is all about gotcha stuff. Yet the clips that came out of it, and I didn't see it, but you played the clips for me, and they're just hysterical. It is classic Donald Trump.
Yeah, I really think that this is Trump at his absolute best. We'll play a bunch of the clips. I won't talk too much, and then we can kind of go over it.
That using the debt ceiling as a negotiating wedge just could not happen. You said that
sure.
When you were in the
That's
Oval
when
Office.
I was president.
So why is it different now that you're out of office?
Because now I'm not president.
That's a good one. Oh, got to pause. Play this one.
You leave office. You say, I'm sorry, but I'm going to back home. I'm back home to my family and everything. I'm going to be resigned. My poll numbers went up, and they went up with the other fake charge, too. Because what's happening is they're doing this for election interference. This woman,
he's talking about
I don't
the
know her. I
trial.
Never met her.
Right.
I have no idea who she is. I had a picture taken years ago with her and her husband, nice guy, John Johnson. He was a newscaster, very nice man. She called him an ape. Happens to be African-American. Called him an ape. The judge wouldn't allow us to put that in. Her dog or her cat was named Vagina. The judge wouldn't allow us to put that in.
I got to pause it there. It's like the Trump delivery of the
Vagina.
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 By the way, before you keep going here, this brings up something about Durham. Because, you know, the left is going to say, well, he had two people on trial in D.C., couldn't get a conviction. Trump, you know, on this bogus thing that he's dealing with in New York where they brought him in, where they basically arrested him and arraigned him and all that. This is, again, the two-tier system that we have in this country.
Yep.
The demographics of Washington, D.C., the District of Columbia, I mean, it's 98% Democrat.
Yeah.
A Republican will never get a fair trial with a jury in the District of Columbia, and I don't think it'll happen in Manhattan either.
No. Hell no. I mean, I think like 1% of people in New York City voted for Trump or something like that. It's an insanely low number. I know in Philadelphia, where I'm from, not I was born in Philly, but raised in the area. But in Philadelphia, there were like 15 voting districts or something like that in Philly in 2016 where zero people voted for Donald Trump. Zero people in a large number of districts. So yeah, and these people want to get him, you know, and it just the whole thing makes no sense. And
right.
Yeah, it's not a fair trial.
Right.
Here's another good clip. We're continuing with the Trump town hall. She's asking him about accepting the results of the election.
Running in the 2024 race, if you are the Republican nominee and you are in that 2024 race, will you commit tonight to accepting the results of the 2024 election?
Yeah, if I think it's an honest election, absolutely, I would.
Will you commit to accepting the results of the election regardless of the outcome?
The woman answered again. If I think it's an honest election, I would be honored to. And right now, we are so far ahead of both Democrat and Republican. And you know what? If I don't win, this country is going to be in big trouble. It's so sad to see what's happening.
But no commitment there on the accepting the results regardless of the outcome.
If it's an honest election, correct, I will.
Okay, so not committing to accepting the 2024 election results or acknowledging what happened in 2020.
Go
President
ahead.
Yeah, she's a moderator,
yeah.
Right? She's a she's basically putting him on trial, and he's eating her lunch.
She's asking him about January 6th.
I mean, this clip, by the way.
So many of the questions and what she was trying to get him on was like stuff that's happened in the past. And we're going to see a clip of voters after the CNN town hall that really just nails, you know, the coffin for CNN. But here's her asking about January 6th and his response.
Back to what happened on that day.
He did not say that.
But you said you weren't very involved that day. You did tell your supporters to come to Washington. You tweeted about it, about
true,
that speech that happened on the rally.
Am I allowed to say that?
When they went to the Capitol and they were breaking into the Capitol, smashing windows, injuring police officers, why did it take you 3 hours to tell them to go home?
I don't believe it did. Oh, let me pull it out. I have to pull it out. So if you look
He's got the receipts.
On January 5th, the day before, please support our Capitol Police and law enforcement. They are truly on the side of our country. Stay peaceful. Stay peaceful. This was the day before, and this was in the form of Twitter. Now use Truth. Truth Social. I think it's far superior. Okay. I hope everybody's on Truth. If you look, January 6th, this is a two before 2:30. I am asking for everyone at the U.S. Capitol to remain peaceful. This is right after as it was happening. But what happened is they took it down. I don't know why.
So anyways, he's pulling out the receipts, you know, and
right.
she's trying to
he's
nail
got the timeline
on the January 6th thing. And
he's
blah,
got
blah,
the
blah.
Timeline. She's got the narrative.
Yeah, exactly. This is the last one, and then I'll play the clip from of the voters from after.
I think is why you held on to those documents when you knew the federal government was seeking them and then had given you a subpoena to return them.
Are you
them.
Ready? Are you ready? Can I talk?
Yeah, what's
you
the
mind?
Answer?
Can I, do you mind?
I would like for you to answer the question.
Okay, it's very simple to answer.
That's why I asked it.
It's very simple to you're a nasty person. I tell
you. You're a nasty person.
It's so
okay,
true.
So what did the voters, the actual voters think?
Yeah, so this was maybe the best clip of the whole night. And it's after the town hall is over and they have this group of Trump voters. Because, I mean, as soon as the thing was over, we're going to play clips of Anderson Cooper and Jake Tapper. It's like full damage control because... huge win for Donald Trump, huge L for CNN. Everyone in the audience was laughing.
Well, they got
and cheering.
A ratings number out of it, which
yeah.
they badly needed.
They badly needed, yeah. So here is a panel of Trump voters, and the CNN guy is about to ask them about why Trump won't stop talking about the 2020 election. And the answer is just fantastic.
Does it bother you that he keeps talking about 2020 and not 2024? I'll ask you first. This is Jonathan Leslie. He's 40, Republican, voted for Trump twice. How do you feel about those lies?
So
how
I feel
do you
like
feel
part
about
of it's also
those
the media
lies.
Narrative, as you guys asked him the first question at the town hall about the 2020 election. Rather than current stuff.
So don't you think he could say it's time for me to start talking about 2024 and not lies that aren't true?
So it's on Trump.
Couldn't the media ask him a question about 2024?
Well, there were questions, but you're right. That was the first thing, but that's something that was on our mind. And that's
brutal, dude.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah. So well, and then beyond that, I guess you're going to get to the clips of the left with their hair on fire, and they had their hair on fire. I mean, you know, it's like, why would CNN allow this man to be on television? He is, by the way, right now, the leading Republican for 2024.
Oh, yeah.
He is the former president of the United States, and he might well be the next president of the United States.
Yeah. And this was, I mean, you're saying the left has their hair on fire saying, why would CNN do this? CNN had their hair on fire saying, why would CNN? I mean, they're just like, they can't believe what they just saw.
Oh, from Washington, and it was an interesting night. Mr. Trump's first lie was told just seconds into the night with his false familiar claim that the 2020 election was, quote, a rigged election. And the falsehoods kept coming fast and furious about the January 6th insurrection, about the threat to Vice President Pence, about Pence's ability to overturn the election, about COVID, about the economy.
By the way,
more.
Pause that a second. Does anybody keep an abacus on all of Biden's lies?
Or CNN's lies?
Or Karine Jean-Pierre? I mean, you know, tick, 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 tick. Lie, 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 lie.
Yeah.
Trump, I think, you know... A lot of times, Trump, it's like exaggeration sometimes,
yeah,
and
exactly.
they pin him for a lie on an exaggeration.
Exactly.
Biden, it's bold-faced lying.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
He called a black law enforcement officer a thug. He said people here in Washington, D.C., at Chinatown, don't speak English. He attacked Caitlin
Probably
as a nasty
true.
Woman because she was trying to get him to answer a question.
Definitely
Perhaps
true.
Most chillingly, the day after, a 9-person jury of his peers in New York found him liable
of his
sexual
peers?
Battery and defamation, and ordered him to pay writer E. Jean Carroll $5 million. He made fun of her account of her
yes.
sexual assault.
Yes.
And many in the audience laughed.
He said he never met the woman.
Applauded.
Yeah.
The former president.
God.
Cope and seethe. Cope and seethe, Jake Tapper.
Ugh.
Last one. I promise.
All right.
Many of you have
this
expressed
was the next
deep
day.
Anger and disappointment. Many of you are upset that someone who attempted to destroy our democracy was invited to sit on a stage in front of a crowd of Republican voters to answer questions and predictably continued to spew lie after lie after lie. And I get it. It was disturbing. It was disturbing to see and hear that person refer to a black law enforcement officer as a thug, an adjective he used many times to describe black men, and call Caitlin Collins, the moderator, nasty, which is what he calls any woman who stands up to him. It was disturbing. To hear him speak so highly of QAnon conspirators and insurrectionists who assaulted police officers in our democracy
for the
on January
love of God.
6th. And it was awful to hear him spread ridiculous lies about the election. And it was certainly disturbing to hear that audience, young and old, our fellow citizens, people who love their kids and go to church, laugh and applaud his lies and his continued defamation of a woman who, according to a jury of his peers, he sexually abused and defamed. as good a job as Caitlin Collins did trying to fact check him, it is impossible to fact check fully because he lies so shamelessly.
Back at
now,
you.
Now, many of you think CNN shouldn't have given him any platform to speak, and I understand the anger about that, giving him the audience,
like
the
part.
Time. I get that. But this is what I also get. The man you were so disturbed to see and hear from last night, that man is the front runner for the Republican nomination for president. And according to polling, no other Republican is even close. That man you were so upset to hear from last night, he may be president of the United States in less than 2 years. And that audience that upset you, that's a sampling of about half the country. They are your family members, your neighbors, and they are voting. And many said they're voting for him. Now, maybe you haven't been paying attention to him since he left office. Maybe you've been enjoying not hearing from him, thinking it can't happen again. Some investigation is going to stop him. Well, it hasn't so far. So if last night showed anything, it showed it can happen again. It is happening again. He hasn't changed, and he is running hard. You have every right to be outraged today and angry and never watch this network again. But do you think staying in your silo and only listening to people you agree with is going to make that person go away?
Well, you know, he talks
I
about
love it.
Lie,
love it.
Lie, 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 lie. You know, and what I would say is Trump exaggerates a lot. He's an asshole. You know, we've talked about that before. You know, he's not a nice person. He's funny. You like him from a stand-up perspective. I get that. But the lies that Joe Biden and the left are telling, they affect my daily life.
Yeah.
They affect your daily life. They are affecting the United States of America. They are making us into, as you said earlier in this podcast, a third world country.
100%.
That's what's actually happening in this country. And as far as whether Trump's going to be the nominee or not, he may be, he might not be. I don't know. You know, I like Ron DeSantis. And Ron DeSantis made a very interesting point that I think we ought to take into account.
The weekend, the GOP needs to reject a culture of losing. Do you acknowledge that Trump lost and there wasn't all this fraud that he talks about?
Like, I just got to pause it. Even there, it's like every single question is about, did you lose the 2020 election? Will you acknowledge that you lost the 2020 election? Was January 6th the worst thing that happened since Pearl Harbor?
Right.
And then they turn around, they're like, well, he won't stop talking about 2020. Stop asking about it.
His point that he's about to make here, though, is very clear. And if you look at electoral politics from a 30,000-foot level, even you have to admit, we had some losses along the way.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
he's making
sure.
a very solid point. And I think that's why we ought to take a really hard look at this guy for the nominee.
Well, I look at the last however many election cycles. 2018, we lost the House. We lost the Senate. 2020, Biden becomes president. Or no, excuse me, we lost the Senate in 2020. Biden becomes president, and it's done a huge amount of damage. Very unpopular in 2022. And we were supposed to have this big red wave, and other than like Florida and Iowa, I didn't see a red wave across this country. And so I think the party has developed a culture of losing.
Yeah. So with everything going as bad as it could possibly go, you know, Biden can still look at it and go, we didn't get beat as badly as they thought they were going to beat us.
Right.
So that's going to be the battleground that this thing is going to be fought over. And I can't wait to see what happens in Iowa and New Hampshire and South Carolina and beyond as we go into the 2024 campaign, which I think is off and running. And Ron DeSantis, with that comment, Kurt, he hasn't announced yet, but he's in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, he's clearly in. I mean, he's in Iowa. He has a campaign bus.
Yeah. He's in.
He's in.
Okay. So. Well, we'll continue to follow it. And again, please come see us Monday. We'll be there at 5 o'clock, shaking hands, kissing babies, having pizza, solving the world's problems. And then at 6, we start the live taping of another episode of Dale Carter's America. So come see us at Funhouse Pizza, 50 Highway in Lee's Summit. That is this coming Monday. What is the date on that?
May 22nd.
May 22nd at 5 p.m., we will see you at Funhouse Pizza. Until then, this is Dale Carter's America.
The views expressed on Dale Carter's America are Dale's and Kurt Wheeler's. They do not necessarily reflect the views of KFKF or Steel City Media. Comments can be sent to DaleCartersAmerica@gmail.com. Check back for weekly episodes. Subscribe, spread the word, and give us a 5-star review. Thanks for being a part of Dale Carter's America.